Hebrews chapter 11 with me, if you would. We'll begin reading in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. The Word of God says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this opportunity to preach your holy word, your precious holy word, the authorized 1611 King James Bible. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would give me your words to speak, because my words mean absolutely nothing. They're vain, anything that I would have to say this morning. Father, I pray for your power from on high this morning to preach this message. I pray as your word goes out that it would be an encouragement to the hearers here this morning. Father, now, I just commit this precious time that you've given each and every one of you, us here this morning, into thy hands. I ask your blessing upon it. Father, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to hear thy word. Father, now, we commit it now into thy hands, and it's in Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen and amen. The text verse from this passage that I read from this morning to you is verse number 16. It says, "But now they desire a better country." That's the title of my message this morning, "A Better Country." As a saved, born-again child of God, you and I should desire a better country. The problem with most Christians today is found in verse number 15 of our passage in Hebrew 11. It says, "If truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out." See, that's the problem with most Christians today. They are still mindful of that country, which is the world that God saved them out of. Instead of desiring a better country, as it says in verse 16, that is, in heavenly, they keep looking back at the world, like Lot's wife did, looking back at Sodom. And we know that she ran into some problems because she was turned into a pillar of salt, amen. That's why so many Christians today are not doing anything for God, is because they keep looking back at that world. Amen. They never get started for God. Amen. You know, they keep complaining like the children of Israel after God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. Amen. You know, at the first sign of adversity, the children of Israel complained, "It was better that we should have never left Egypt." The same with the Christian after they're saved. They said, I wish that I never got saved," some Christians may say, "because I had fewer problems." Well, that might have been true. You might have had fewer problems, amen, but you had one great big one. That one great big one was an eternal problem. Without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, you are on your way to hell. Now, verse number 13 in Hebrews 11 tells us who really desires a better country. Who really desires a better country? We have in the previous verses 8 through 13, it's talking about Abraham and Sarah. Amen. And at the end of verse 13, we are told Abraham and the heirs of the same promise as Abraham, and of course that promise to Abraham and his heirs is a future physical land of Palestine for the Jews. Amen. And Christ will return someday and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne of David. Amen. In that earthly Jerusalem. But they made, Abraham and his heirs, they made a confession. Look at in verse 13. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then we want to notice in verse 14 of Hebrews 11, it switches from Abraham and his crowd to another group of people. Let's read verse 14. It says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." For they that say such things. And of course, it's referring back to verse 13. In other words, it's talking about another group of people that have made the same confession as Abraham and his heirs. Amen. And in other words, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, this group, this other group that it's referring to in verse 14 has made that same confession that Abraham did, that they're sojourners and pilgrims on this earth. It tells us this group of folks not only makes a confession, but a declaration. See there in verse 14, "For they that say such things," of course, that's the confession that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Also it says, "declare plainly that they seek a country." Verse 15 tells us the country they seek is not the same country that they came out of, amen. Clearly, in verses 14 through 16, the "they" that's referred to is referring to the born-again child of God, the Christian. We see in verse 14 it says, "they that say such things," the confession of verse 13, "they seek a country," in verse 14. In verse 15 it says, "they had been mindful." In verse 15, "they came out." In verse 15, "they might have had opportunity." In verse 16, "they desire a better country." The "they" in those verses, again, is the Christian, the born-again child of God that has been saved by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the ones who desire a better country. These are the ones who are truly homesick for heaven. It is the child of God who has confessed that he is a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. Amen. Notice how Peter exhorts the believer. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at how he exhorts the believers. And in verse number 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. He's speaking to you and I today, Christian. And he says in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Dearly beloved," amen. He's speaking to saved people. He's speaking to you and I today. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," I beg you in other words, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And of course, he's saying that we're strangers, amen. We are pilgrims. This world is not our home, amen. And because this world is not our home, that we as Christians should abstain from fleshly lusts that war against our soul. The Christian who desires a better country is no longer mindful of that country from whence he came out of, the world. He realizes that the world is not his home, that he's just a passing through, that his treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. He realizes that his conversation is in heaven. Look it with me in Philippians chapter 3. Our conversation is in heaven, Paul the Apostle wrote in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20, he says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's where our conversation is in heaven, my dear friend, my dear Christian. Not only is our conversation, but that's where we're looking. We're looking for the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ to return. And our conversation is in heaven, amen. Our conversation should not be full of the things of the world, should it now? Our conversation when we get together and when we talk, and even to the unsaved, amen, should be about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that his soon return is imminent, amen. Our conversation is in heaven. That's where your conversation, if you've truly said, if you've made that confession that you desire, that you seek a better country, amen, that you have made that confession as Abraham said, that you are a stranger and I am a stranger and pilgrim, amen, a sojourner on this earth is not our home, then your conversation and my conversation should be a heavenly conversation. I'm not talking about babbling in some unknown gibberish, amen, but I'm talking about heavenly things. We should be homesick for heaven. We should have heaven on our mind, amen. We should be telling other Christians and talking about, it's going to be great, he's coming every day. We should exhort one another to be here in church and to live for the Lord, amen. Our conversation is in heaven. Also, the child of God who's made that confession that he's a pilgrim, amen, that he's a sojourner, amen, then his affection is set on his future home. His affection is set on his future home. Look in Colossians with me, chapter 3. If you're truly homesick for heaven, if you desire this morning a better country, a better country than the country from whence you came out of, amen, this wicked world, then your affections should be set on your future home. Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If, Paul writes, if ye be risen with Christ, and if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your for the forgiveness of your sins, amen, if you received him individually and personally as your personal Savior, then you're risen with him. And Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your affection this morning and my affection should be set upon God, on heaven, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our affection should be set upon the things above and not the things on this earth. Check yourself out today if you called yourself a born-again child of God. Where is your affections lying today? Is it on this world from whence you came out of, that Jesus saved you out of? Or are you sincerely in your heart seeking and desiring a better country? Amen. If you've truly made that confession, if you've truly made that confession, as Abraham made, that you're a stranger and pilgrim on this earth, then you should be looking on the eternal things this morning, things that are not seen. Look it with me in 2 Corinthians this morning. If you really believe in your heart that this world is not your home, amen, but heaven is, if you're home sick for heaven this morning, then you should be looking on the things that are not seen. Look it with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, But the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look not at the things which are seen, amen. That's where you and I should be looking. We should be looking upon the eternal things. How you and I can lay up treasures into heaven while we're here, amen. We can't see it, but God can see it as it goes into our spiritual bank account. We should be looking for the Lord's return at any moment, amen. The signs are all there for his coming. He said he would return. They said he would return in like manner in a cloud for us. Amen. This morning, we want to look at this morning why the country, that the child of God desires is truly a better country. Why is that country that you and I should seek and desire a better country than this world here? Amen. Well, if we go back to Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 16, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 16 with me, we'll find the answer why it's a better country. First, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 16, it says, But now they desire a better country. Why should you and I desire a better country? Because it says, first of all, that it is an heavenly. That it is a heavenly. The country that the child of God should seek and desire is a better country because, number one, of its place. Number one, because of its place. The place of this better country is in heaven, the third heaven, paradise, where God is. That's why it's a better country. Look it with me over in the book of Revelations, chapter 21. The country that you and I should seek and desire as a child of God, as a born-again child of God, as a Christian, is a better country because of its place, because it's a heavenly place. It's in heaven, amen. The Apostle John wrote in Revelations, chapter 21, in verse number 2, he said, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This morning I'm here to tell you the place, the better country referred to in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, that you and I as a born-again child of God should seek and desire is a heavenly place. It comes right out of heaven, amen. Also in that same chapter of Revelations in verse number 10, we're told, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem. Again, where is it? Descending out of heaven from God. This country that you and I should seek and desire is a better country because of its place. Not only is it a heavenly place, amen, but it's also a place. Let me look at these things with me, if you would, in Revelations chapter 21. Read in verse number 4 with me. Follow along in verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm here to tell you this morning, my brother and sister, that the better country that you and I seek and desire, not only is it a heavenly place, but number one, it's a place of no more tears. How many of us here have shed tears over something or someone or something? We're promised that in this better country, you and I will shed no more tears. It's a place of no more tears, amen. No more tears, no more cheeks stained with tears of sorrow and pain as we look at. There'll be no more death, amen. It's a place of no more death. How many loved ones have we buried and we've had to say goodbye to? And boy, has our heart ached with pain. Amen. A place of no more death, no more undertakers, no more coffins, no more caskets. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It's a better country, my dear friend. It's a better country than this country here. That country, that better country that you and I should seek and desire is a country of no more tears, no more death, and no more sorrow. How many of us here, all of us here today, have experienced some kind of sorrow? Where our hearts have been broken over something or someone or something, whatever it may be. Some disappointment. My dear friend, my dear Christian, this morning, I'm here to tell you, glory, hallelujah, that the better country is a child of God, is a blood-bought child of God. That better country that you and I should seek and desire is a country with no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more crying, no more crying, no more hurt, no more hurt, because that's what makes us cry a lot of times, is hurt. No more crying, no more hurt. It's a place of no more pain. How many of us today, I have pains and aches in my body. We all have pains and aches. We all have friends that have pains and aches, amen. We've seen loved ones suffer through the years with pains and aches, amen. But praise the Lord, this better country that you and I are to seek and desire is a better country from whence the country we came out of, that we were saved out of this wicked world, is because there'll be no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And we read in verse 4 of Revelation 21, for the former things have passed away. Praise the Lord, there'll be no more past. Amen. You know, the past seems to drag you and I down, past sins that Satan will keeps trying to remember us about and say, hey, and tell us, how can you be truly saved? Look at all these things that you've done in the past. Amen. All of that will be gone away with. The former things will pass away. We will have no more past. Satan will not be able to beat us over the head with our past or what we did or what we didn't do or what we should have done or could have done. Amen. No more past. It's a far better country. It's a better country from whence this country that we were saved out of. Amen. It's a place of no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more past. How in the world, as a Christian, can we be mindful of this world when we read in the scriptures of what is ahead of us? Amen. We should be salivating, chomping at the bit to wait for that day. Amen. You know why a lot of us are maybe afraid to die? It's because we're still mindful of this country. Because if we were seeking, really seeking, as a child of God and desiring that better country, amen, then we couldn't wait to be with the Lord in a place of no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more past, amen. Job said this in the book of Job. Job said this about life. Job chapter 14, verse 1, he said, man that is born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman. That covers everyone in this world. That covers you and I, everyone here this morning. Man that is born of woman is of few days. Is few days and full of trouble. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Our walk on this earth compared to eternity is but of a few days. Amen. And doesn't a day go by that we run into some kind of trouble? Amen. Truly. Man that is born of woman is a few days. Is a few days and full of trouble, amen. That's what happens to each and every one of us. You know, the man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's over. You know what I mean? It's over before it even began. One trouble after another. Praise. That's what the Bible says, and it's true. King Solomon. The wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon said this, amen, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's turn there and see what King Solomon said. King Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes about the world, he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 12, he said, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And of course, this is Solomon. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This is sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. He says now, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And of course, the word vexation means the act of irritating or troubling. So he's saying, all this world, I've seen all the works that have done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, which means nothing, and vexation of spirit. All it is trouble and irritation. That's what life is, trouble and irritation, amen. Now, after what Job and Solomon said, how could any Christian be mindful of this world? from this country, from the country from whence God saved you out of. The country that the child of God seeks and desires is a better country because also it's a place of no more night. Let's go back to Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21, and we'll see that that place, heaven, is a place of no more night, praise the Lord. No more night. Looking in Revelations chapter 21, in verse number 25, it says, "And the gates of it shall not be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there." No night there. You know, today you and I, we have to lock and double lock our doors for fear of someone coming in, amen. You know, it seems like all the idiots, all the wickedness seems to come out at night, amen. Well, in that better country that you and I are headed for as Christians, someday there'll be no night. The gates of the city, that New Jerusalem, will be left open. There'll be no fear of anyone coming in there and getting a hold of you and robbing you and beating you up, amen. We don't have to be worried about the idiots and the wicked ones coming out at night and trying to do something to your car or to your house or to yourself, amen. There'll be no night, amen, in that place. It's a better country because there's no more nights. It's a better country because there's no more sin. No more sin. Look at in verse 27 of Revelation 21. It's a better country because there's no more sin. Verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." That's you and I. If you're saved, if you're born again, the Bible tells us your name and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and there'll be nothing to enter into that city, nothing to enter into that better country, it says, that will defile it. No longer any sin, abomination, or whatsoever, amen. It's a better country because there's no more sin. It's a better country, amen, because there's no more sun or moon. Look at in verse 23 of Revelation 21. It's talking about the New Jerusalem, the better country that you and I are headed for this morning. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Praise the Lord. No more need of a sun or a moon, praise the Lord. Because the glory of God is going to light up that place. Amen. Not only is it a better place, it's a better country because of its place, because it's a place of no more night, no more sin, no more sun or moon, and no more temple. No more temple. Look at in Revelation 21, verse 22. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Amen. You know, the Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be the temple, amen. We're not going to have to worry about a building where we're going to hold services, amen. We're not going to have to be worried about that, praise the Lord, because there'll be no need of no more temple, amen. So we see, number one, that the better place that you and I as a Christian should seek and desire is a better country because of its place. Number two, the country the child of God seeks and desire is a better country because of its person. Look at in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 again. Hebrews 11, verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is heavenly." We just looked at that. It's a better country because of its place. Now, number two, "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." It's a better country, number two, because of its person. Because of its person. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." The person of the better country that you and I are headed for is God himself, amen. We see that going back to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 3, he says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." So God is going to tabernacle. His tabernacle is going to be with us, amen. God will dwell with us eternally, never to be separated from us again. He said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with us. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." We will be God's people, 100%, amen. We'll be totally faithful and obedient to God. He will be our God. He will dwell with us eternally. It's a better country that you and I should seek and desire because of its person. The Lord God Almighty is going to be there. Amen. Then we read in verse number 4 of Revelation 21, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." You know what I believe? I believe all that suffering, all the shame that we've gone through for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get up there, I really believe individually and personally that God Himself is going to come to us individually and personally and wipe each tear out of our eyes. I believe that. I really believe that. That's why it's worth it all. That's why it's worth it all down here to suffer for Him. Because I believe someday He's going to come, He's going to put His hand on our shoulder, say, "It's all over with, it's all gone." And just take out that, I know it's going to be a tremendous hanky, and just do like this. "I love you. You're one of mine. You're a child of mine. You're here with me forever." Praise the Lord. It's a better country than this earth. Why should you and I be mindful from this country, this world that He saved us out of, when what's ahead down the road for us? Like a father. Like a father does with a child. He'll wipe away every tear. Amen. Look at in verse 5 of Revelation number 21. He says, "And he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." You know, you and I can't believe, we have to be careful when man tells us something. Because man is not faithful and true. But we have, when God says something, He's faithful and true. And He says here, He's going to make all things new. All things are going to be new. Now, I believe what that is the physical fulfillment of spiritually what has already happened to you and I. Look at in 2 Corinthians, with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And this is true. Spiritually, this is what's happened to you, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us here this morning that's in Christ, that to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that repented and turned from our sins, and have received Him individually and personally as our personal Savior, spiritually, all things have become new. Now, we see up there in Revelation chapter 21, amen, in verse number 5, we just read here that He said, "Behold, I make all things new." I think that's going to be a physically that's going to take place. You know, spiritually we're new, but physically we still live in this old flesh. And we know when we get up there, we're going to have a new glorified body, a sinless body. We're going to be like Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to make all things new. There's not going to be anything old about us anymore. We're not going to be inside this old flesh anymore. All things will become new. Then we see, we just saw earlier in Revelation 21:23. Revelation 21:23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." God's glory is going to light up where we're going to be. So we see number 2 this morning. Not only is the country, is it a better country that you and I should seek and desire as a child of God because of its place, but number 2, because of its person. And finally, number 3, it's a better country that you and I should seek and desire because of its preparation. Preparation. Look at in Hebrews chapter 11 as we go back there to see the preparation. Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. "But now they," that they is you and I, child of God, "but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly." We saw the place, it's a heavenly place. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." We saw it's a better country because of the person of the place. God Himself will be there. And then we see The latter part of verse 16 in Hebrews 11, for he hath prepared for them a city. It's a better country that you and I should seek and desire because of its preparation. Its preparation. This better country that you and I should seek and desire has been prepared by a special person, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at with me in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's a better country because it's been prepared by a very special person, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me. Verse number 2 of John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we see then this better country, that as a child of God that you and I should seek and desire, has been prepared by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's prepared it for you and for me. He says, I will come again, he will receive us, and that he will be there with us, and we will be there with him. We see also, we saw earlier in Revelations 21, verse 2, this prepared place, this prepared city, this better country is called New Jerusalem, amen. But next we want to look at, we saw that who has prepared it? It's been prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is a supernatural person, amen, is he not? So then we know that he'll need supernatural building materials in the preparation of this better country. Let's go back to verse Revelations 21 and look at these supernatural materials that he's going to use. Revelations chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse number 10 as we go down and we'll comment. Revelations 21, verse number 10, and he carried me away. John's talking, this is the apostle John, this is the he. And he carried me away, or Jesus carried him away, excuse me, in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So you can imagine, here's the apostle John, and he sees this holy city coming down. The glory of God. He says, having the glory of God, this New Jerusalem is going to have the glory of God. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I can't with my finite mind. I can't imagine what that's going to. And her light, the New Jerusalem, was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So we see this beautiful city coming down, clear as a crystal out of the sky. Then in verse 12, and it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. You know, I think about a lot of apartment complexes today that you go into usually will have a guard or someone at the station. But here you have, look at this thing. This place that we're going to, this better country, is going to have 12 gates protecting it. And with each gate, there's going to be an angel. Amen. And then he said in verse 13, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This thing's going to be real sturdy, amen. My house only has one foundation, amen. My physical house that I live in. This place that you are and I are going to live in, this better country, is going to have 12 foundations with the names. We know there's going to be quality, amen, because each foundation will have the name of the 12 apostles, amen, on it. In the wall of the city, verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. And then he gives the dimension of the city. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. What you have here, the dimensions of a city, if you look at it, are going to be like two pyramids, with laid out like this, with the base of one up against the other. Or if you looked at it, it'd be like a double cube, each cube having five sides. And we see here, it gives us a dimension, amen, of 12,000 furlongs. So this city, that this better country that you and I are going to, it's going to be 1,200 miles long, it's going to be 1,200 miles wide, and it's going to be 1,200 miles high, amen. This is the city, this is the place that you and I are going to. A big, huge cube, a double cube, amen, with five sides. Clear as crystal, amen, what a sight coming down out of heaven. Verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. The wall of the place that's going to go around this place is going to be 260 feet high, amen. 260 feet high. We read, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Pure gold, but gold that you could see through, pure as glass, amen. Picture, it's hard to picture these things in your mind, but this is, that's why as we, you know, when you and I start getting mindful of this world and the things of the world, open up Revelations 21. Go through the description of the place that you and I are going to. The world doesn't even match up to it. We shouldn't even be mindful of it, amen. And God, I believe, wrote this down in Revelations 21, so when we start thinking, we get mindful of this world, this country, from whence he called us out of and he saved us out, that we can go to Revelations 21 and read it and say, ah, this is what's, the, this is, it is truly is a better country than the one that I'm living in now. You may not live in a mansion now, but someday you are. You know, you may be having a struggle if you're living for the Lord, but someday that struggle is going to be over, and someday you're going to be living high off the hog, amen. And there's not going to be any end to it either. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardox, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates, so here we have, the foundations of the walls of the city made up with all these precious stones, amen. All these 12 different precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 gates. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent. So here we have the 12 gates, and every one of those gates is a big, huge pearl. And then it mentions here, it talks about the street of the city was pure gold. I believe that there's going to be a street up there that's, as it says, a pure gold that's going to run, it's going to run 1,200 miles long, amen, from one end of that city to the other, amen. This morning, as a saved, born-again child of God, you and I should be seeking and desiring a better country. We're seeing because of its place, amen, it's a heavenly place, because of its person, God himself is going to be there and we're going to dwell eternally with him, and because of its preparation, the Lord Jesus Christ prepared it for you and I, and we just described the dimensions and the beauty of the place, something that our minds cannot comprehend. Before we close this morning, I want to ask you a question. Where is your heart and mind this morning? Is it mindful of that country from whence you came out of, this wicked world, where Jesus saved you out of? Or is it seeking and desiring a better country? Is it seeking and desiring a better country, your eternal home, heaven? Are you homesick for heaven this morning, Christian? Is your prayer, as the last prayer in the Bible is, the last prayer in the Bible is found in Revelation 22:20, and it says, it's very simply this. It's five words. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Or is your prayer, please delay, Jesus. Take your time, Jesus. I'm enjoying the good life down here, Jesus. Well, if it is, if that's your prayer, then what's probably happened is you've never made that confession that Abraham made in his ears. Because it says, those who seek this better country have made that confession. The confession that you and I are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I pray this morning, if you've never made that confession, that you're a stranger and pilgrim on this earth, amen, and that you put your heart and your mind and your desire, if you've never had to seek the better country, a better country than what's here on this earth, from this earth, this wicked world that Christ has called you out of. I pray, if you've never done that, that you'll do that today. I pray that you'll no longer be mindful, no longer be mindful of this world, but truly in your heart and mind, seek and desire a far better country. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for that better country that's waiting each and every one of us that's a born-again child of God, that's trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Unfortunately, today, there are many Christians across this land and across this world that are still very mindful of this wicked, sinful world that you saved us out of. Father, I just pray. I pray for those that are still mindful of this country, that they would set their affections on the things above and not the things of the earth. I pray in their heart and in their soul and in their mind that they would make that confession, that they would realize that they're a stranger and a pilgrim upon this earth, that this world is not their home. They're just a passing through. Their treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Father, I pray that each and every one of us here would seek and desire that better country. As we come to our song of invitation, as always, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.